Well, advocates of gender-affirming care say it's evidence-based. But now, newly released internal files from the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, WPATH, prove that the practice of transgender medicine is neither scientific nor medical. Now, thousands of doctors worldwide rely on WPATH, including our own Ministry of Health, Te Whatuora, and it's pushed by the Radical Association of New Zealand Doctors, or activists, I should say, called PATHA, P-A-T-H-A. WPATH is considered the leading global authority on gender medicine, but it's now been exposed as the Wild West of Western medicine. And that has now exploded in their face, and the New Zealand government should immediately pause the transing of young people.
This is obviously an extremely serious accusation that we're making in this report. Pseudoscientific surgical and hormonal experiments on children, adolescents, and vulnerable adults. We're looking at a case of very serious medical mistreatment where children and vulnerable adults are being given drugs and given surgeries without them understanding the implications of those drugs and surgeries. And what's more, the files themselves, and I think if there's one thing you want to take away from this, what it shows is that the professionals involved in so-called gender medicine recognize that both the children and the parents, as well as the people with a mental illness that they're so-called treating, they know that they don't understand what they're getting into. What we're dealing with here is, in my view, one of the worst medical mistreatment scandals in human history, and maybe the worst.
Yeah, so this could be one of the most important McBlogs that I have done and may ever do. And it's all about the transgender affirmation model, which has been targeted at our young people. Now, according to reports from Daily Wire and LifeSite News, internal files from WPATH, which purports to be a medical association that develops standards for transgender treatment, have shot to pieces the public line that its recommendations are governed by evidence and science. The WPATH files include emails and messages from an internal discussion forum by doctors, as well as statements from a video call of WPATH members, which was leaked, which I'll show you some parts of. The research group Environmental Progress analysed hundreds of pages of internal posts and videos after being obtained by its founder, journalist Michael Schellenberger.
A video of gender medicine experts went viral. On it, they talked about how hard it is to talk with teenagers about whether they might want to have kids one day.
It's always a good theory that you talk about fertility preservation with a 14-year-old, but I know I'm talking to a blank wall. And the same would happen for a cisgender kid, right? They'd be like, ew, kids, babies, gross, or the usual spack answer is I'm going to adopt. I'm just going to adopt. And then you ask them, well, what does that involve? Like, how much does it cost? Oh, I thought you just like went to the orphanage and they gave you a baby. No, it's not quite like that.
That's Dr. Daniel Metzger, and he's talking about the challenge of getting what's known as informed consent from children and adolescents to undergo procedures that will result in their sterilization. Over the last several years, doctors, medical experts, and the media have all said that the best way to help adolescents in distress about their gender is to give them puberty blockers, hormones, and surgeries to align their physical sex with their gender identity. The alternative to doing so, they said, was suicide. But now a new study released last month found no scientific evidence to support the claim that drugs and surgeries prevent suicide among people with gender dysphoria. Now, I agree we should be concerned about children and adolescents experiencing distress about their biological sex. But now there's even more evidence to warrant greater caution in how we treat them. Whistleblowers have given me the internal files from the main gender medicine organization, which is known as WPATH and stands for the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. The WPATH files show surgeons, therapists, and activists discussing internally how to treat people with gender distress. What they show is that what's happening is neither good science nor good medicine.
Okay, so let's have a closer look. And basically, they're saying WPATH is nothing more than an ethical activist group that existed to give cover to doctors who didn't want to be sued, so they just said they were following experts' standards. And the consequences include not being able to have children. Now, for example, Dr. Daniel Metzger, a Canadian endocrinologist, acknowledged that the people he was explaining the procedures to often hadn't even had biology in high school yet. And basically they, you know, they weren't going to die. They're going to live forever, right? So he said, I think when we're doing informed consent, that's still a big kajuna. Lacuna, is it? Well, whatever he said. Have a listen.
I think the thing you have to remember about kids is that we're often explaining these sorts of things to people who haven't even had biology in high school yet. And I know I've heard others in this kind of a setting say, well, we think adults are like really slick biologically. In fact, a lot of people have very little medical understanding of stuff like that. We just medical professionals and mental health professionals take for granted. But I don't know still what to do for the 14-year-olds. The parents have it on their minds, but the 14-year-old, it's like talking with diabetic complications with a 14-year-old. They don't care. They're not going to die. They're going to live forever, right? So I think when we're doing informed consent, I know that that's still a big lacuna.
Okay. And Diana Berg, a child psychologist and co-author of the child chapter of the group's so-called Standards of Care, acknowledged that youth often didn't actually understand what they were consenting to. She says it's out of their developmental range sometimes to understand the extent to which some of these medical interventions are impacting them. We try to talk about it, but most of the kids are nowhere in any kind of brain space to really talk about it seriously. Have a watch of this clip.
All of the importance that comes up with the informed consent issues. I often see people who, because there's such a backlog of therapists to do some of the mental health therapeutic support, I often see people who have already engaged in some sort of, and this is again with youth, who've already engaged in some sort of medical intervention. And so one of the things I do is I'm sitting with the youth and their parents and I say, oh, well, so tell me more about what you know about that medical intervention. And kind of like what Dan was saying, you know, children and young adolescents, we wouldn't really expect them. It's kind of a developmental, it's out of their developmental range sometimes to understand the extent to which some of these medical interventions are impacting them.
We do it. Try to talk about it, but most of the kids are nowhere in any kind of a brain space to really, really, really talk about it in a serious way. That's always bothered me, but you know, we still want the kids to be happier in the moment, right?
And I appreciate that much less with a 9, 10, or 11-year-old who's starting puberty suppression, and like Ren said, if they continue on, it's like developmentally not in their space to be able to have to think about that, and it shouldn't be, right? And so I think it is a real growing edge in our field to kind of figure out how we can approach that. I'm definitely a little stumped on it.
Wow. So blasé about it, aren't they? And then this so-called author of the WPATH, the so-called standards, says what really disturbs her. And have a listen. It will disturb you as a parent also.
I kind of do whatever I can to help them understand best I can. But what really disturbs me is when the parents can't tell me what they need to know about a medical intervention that apparently they signed off for. I try to.
Yeah. But what really disturbs me is when the parents can't tell me what they need to know about a medical intervention that apparently they signed off for. That really disturbs us also. This is a WPATH co-author. A doctor from WPATH gave a callous response when discussing the case of an individual who regretted being unable to conceive children after having gone through transgender treatment. And, you know, is a 14-year-old thinking about these consequences of infertility and lack of sexual function? And you'll hear the reference to the dog. And in this conversation, obviously, it's referring to the male role in intercourse. Oh, the dog isn't doing it for you, right? And, you know, they talk about they found a wonderful partner and now they want kids and they can't.
Now that I follow a lot of kids into their mid-20s, I'm always like, oh, the dog isn't doing it for you, right? Yeah, they're like, no, I just found this, you know, wonderful partner and now we're kids and da-da-da. So I think, you know, it doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise them. So, you know, whatever. But it's not only the children that are unaware of the true consequences, mainly because they're too young and not mature enough to process it all. A therapist describes talking to parents after they meet with a medical doctor and they say, okay, tell me what you've learned. And they would be like, we have no idea what they were talking about, but it's okay. WPATH has a solution. She says, I think the more we can normalize that it is okay to not get this right away, that it's okay to have questions. But hey, they don't need to be doing this ethically. Listen to the pregnant pause at the end of this outlandish statement.
And I would say, okay, so tell me what you learned from, and they'd just be like, we have no idea what they were talking about. Because they feel deferential. Part of it is that they feel less deferential to the kind of doctor I am than the kind of doctor the medical doctor is. And so, and because they really are seeking the care, they're just gonna say they know when they really aren't picking up on what's happening. And so I think the more we can normalize that it is okay to not get this right away, it is okay to have questions, is, you know, the more we're going to actually do a real informed consent process than what I think has been currently happening, and that I think is frankly not what we need to be doing ethically.
Thanks, Diana. I appreciate those comments.
That was a long and awkward pause, wasn't it? Ethics not required, apparently. Now, the president of WPATH, Marcy Bowers, admitted that he has never seen a boy whose puberty was blocked achieve orgasm as a transgender woman, meaning basically people who risk their lives to become the opposite sex wind up having no sexual experience at all. Now, the name Marcy Bowers will ring a bell. He's the transgender identifying woman who was on the What is a Woman documentary with Matt Walsh, saying that someone who might want to identify as a disabled person is a bit kooky, but giving a female a false penis was all good. And despite these admissions that clients are unable to give informed consent, WPATH members repeatedly engaged in victim blaming, asserting that people who regret the irreversible procedures should have known what they signed up for. And Marcy Bowers says patients need to own and take active responsibility for medical decisions, especially those that have potentially permanent effects. And regarding detransitioners, I think this is very telling. In reply to a post about a detransition study, Marcy Bowers says in the documents that have been leaked, acknowledgement that detransition exists even to a minor extent is considered off limits for many in our community. Yeah, we thought that. Another doctor said trauma is common amongst trans clients. Nonetheless, I was surprised to find that several of my clients met criteria for dissociative disorders, primarily OSDD, which stand for Other Specified Dissociative Disorder. And it's important to note that no WPATH leader or member has denied that these leaked files are anything other than what they appear to be. You know, this whole thing will go down as one of the worst medical scandals in history. And you can read all of the files and more and examine the documents for yourself, and I'd encourage you to do so. Go to environmentalprogress.org. Environmentalprogress.org. Now, where does New Zealand fit into all of this? Well, New Zealand extremists have their paw print all over the standards. But before we do that, let me remind you that at the beginning of last year, WPATH released its much-anticipated new guidelines, Standards of Care 8th Edition. And one aspect noticeably different from previous editions is that the explicitly stated minimum age recommendation for minors to get puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones and surgery were removed. And the new guidance also suggested that if parents do not affirm their child's newly chosen identity, the state may be enabled to intervene in order to assist with the child's transition. That's how radical they are. But here's the key bit. WPATH has significant influence in New Zealand. Now, transgender research based on the Counting Ourselves survey and policy comes out of the University of Waikato's Trans Health Research Lab. Unfortunately, the unit is driven by activists and an agenda rather than science and independent research. In fact, it's now in conflict with the science. And we've written in detail on the weakness and flaws of the Counting Ourselves survey that the unit does. You can see that on our website, freetolive.nz. But the guidelines for gender-affirming healthcare in Aotearoa, New Zealand, comes out of a group called PATHA, P-A-T-H-A, which is the New Zealand equivalent or the affiliate to the world organisation WPATH. And I'll show that connection in a minute. And in their guideline documents for New Zealand, they specifically say this. WPATH is the international body responsible for producing standards of care. This guideline is not intended to replace the WPATH standards of care, but to present additional guidance for the provision of gender-affirming healthcare in New Zealand. And then it says WPATH Standards of Care Version 7 guidelines provide internationally recognized standards and criteria for accessing gender-affirming hormone treatment. So, you know, talking about puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones. WPATH is basically the go-to for guidelines around treatment for gender-confused children in New Zealand. Now, you may be asking, yeah, but does the Ministry of Health recognise all this? The answer is sadly yes. Here's their response to an OIA in 2020. And sorry, it goes over two pages, but I just want to prove that it is from a genuine document. And it's in reference to reliance on WPATH guidelines. And it says, readiness assessments are as per the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, WPATH standards of care. And here's their website as it stands today with an update from January 2024. This is Ministry of Health, Te Whatu Ora, and it says for referral acceptance to be considered, patients need to meet the eligibility criteria set out in the standards of care for the health of transsexual, transgender, and gender non-conforming people published by WPATH. So WPATH is the international body. PATHA is New Zealand's version, which is basically a lapdog for WPATH and are influencing the blind and flawed gender affirmation model being rammed down in New Zealand on our children. So who is PATHA? Well, it was formed in 2018. It's a group of trans activists, some of who are at the University of Waikato, and some of them have found their way into the medical professional setting, but not all of them. Here's just some of the executive committee of PATHA. Dr. Jamie Veal, she, her, a transgender woman. He's an associate editor of the International Journal of Transgenderism, a member of the global board of directors of WPATH, and he's one of the authors of the latest revision of the WPATH standards of care. So, a New Zealand activist is on the global board of directors for WPATH. Then we have Dr. Rachel Johnson, she, her, originating from the UK. She's a general paediatrician and adolescent health physician now working at Counties Manukau Centre for Youth Health. She's been involved in trans healthcare for over 10 years and in that time has been a member of WPATH. And she was actually featured on an atrociously biased piece of trans advocacy by the Sunday program a couple of years ago, pushing the normality of puberty blockers, just based on what the child wants.
I think if young people who need blockers can't access them, that can potentially be very harmful for trans youth.
Yeah, apparently it's just what they want. Now, there's also Jennifer Shields, a trans advocate and non-binary trans woman on the committee, Dion Reed, who's a trans man and registered nurse, Phoebe Horton-Andrews, a transgender activist from Rainbow Youth who's studying towards an accounting degree. Yep, these are, according to their website, a group of professionals who have experience working for transgender health. And they also have a policy and advocacy committee. activists. And one of them is Dr. Zoe Christensen. She, her, who is Pākehā, most closely identifies as Jashira or something, works as a child and adolescent psychiatrist, and also at Auckland University, special interest in transgender mental health, and is a, get this, WPATH Standards of Care Version 8 certified clinician. But there's others on the committee as well. There's Jack Byrne, he, him, a trans man who oversees the flawed Counting Ourselves research. Joe Horton, he, him, who works as a transgender health key worker at Auckland Sexual Health Service. Tane Polkinghorne, he, him, who is the New Zealand Human Rights Commission advisor on sexual orientation, gender identity, expression, and sex characteristics. And Moira Clooney, they, them. Yep. All radical activists for transing your children. You know, it's time that New Zealand dropped the whole trans-affirmative model for our young people. And of course, as you heard earlier, the suicide claim, the trope that better an alive son than a dead daughter, has also been rebutted by recent research out of Finland. Even trans activists are pushing back on the suicide trope now. But let's very quickly review what we've learnt in this really important episode of McBlog, because we need changes in New Zealand for the sake of our children. WPATH is conducting an unregulated experiment on some of the most vulnerable people in society. WPATH are violating the ethical and legal requirements of obtaining informed consent. Members appear to have little concern for the long-term outcome of patients. Members are aware that cross-sex hormones have been debilitating and potentially fatal side effects, have them. They know that puberty blockers are experimental and have adverse consequences. And they admit young patients do not understand the physical effects of sex trait modification interventions and therefore cannot give cognitive consent. WPATH are aware that adolescents are not developmentally able to consent to iatrogenic fertility loss, WPATH has no respect for the Hippocratic Oath, and WPATH dismiss stories of detransitioner regret, and doctors are knowingly experimenting on patients with hormones and surgeries. And just finally, patients with severe mental health issues are being allowed to consent to invasive, life-altering medical interventions without any attempt to first address their mental distress, and WPATH knows there is significant regret in young patients. This new evidence from the WPATH files is a damning indictment on New Zealand's approach to transing our young people. Now, we'll be writing to the Minister of Health, Dr. Shane Retty, and the Ministry of Health, and we'd encourage you to do likewise. Around the globe, patients and doctors have been assured that they are following best practice through the standards of care published by WPATH. But these documents released expose an organisation lacking consideration for long-term patient outcomes, despite being aware of the debilitating and life-changing effects of cross-sex hormones or wrong-sex hormones and other treatments. It's time to protect the next generation. Now, in an upcoming episode, I'll be speaking to one of the researchers of the WPATH files. Watch out for that.